Thank you for joining us for another episode of That Solo Life, the podcast about PR pros and marketers who work for themselves. I am Michelle Kane. My company is Voice Matters, and I am here with my ever fabulous co-host, Karen Swim. She is the head honcho at Solo PR Pro, which, if you don't know, visit soloprpro.com because it's a fantastic, I would call it trade organization, maybe community of PR pros. So hi, Karen.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
You know what? I am fantastic.
Yay.
And I hope our audience is fantastic too. Yes. Thank you all for tuning in and listening.
Yes, we do. We have made it this far into the year. And what a year it is. And I know everyone's probably thinking, actually, you know, August is usually a sleepy month with, in a normal world, people going on vacation, you know, kind of business slowing down a little bit before, you know, a new school year starts. But now we're battling a different kind of fatigue, and we want to touch on that, COVID fatigue, especially as it relates to communication.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting time because we're 6 months into this, mm-hmm. and people are tired. You're tired of seeing, you know, every website that you visit, the little red bar across the top that says COVID-19 updates. You're tired of hearing about it. Yet there is still important information to communicate. So you can't you could, but it's not the best idea to completely isolate yourself from these communications. And if you were in the unenviable position of crafting communications for internal comms or external comms work, right about now, you're probably looking for some creative ways to share those messages so that it doesn't sound like the same old thing and that it doesn't fall on deaf ears.
Right. Which, you know, we as comms pros, we do excel at that, saying the same thing in a new way, but you know, when you pile on that extra layer of, you know, just personally navigating this, and you know, it's heavy. You can't turn on the news to see what the weather's going to be without being reminded of the heaviness of this pandemic. So, you know, but also the importance of continuing to communicate and to do it well, you know, especially as families are gearing back to send their children, well, back to school or starting school or who knows. It's definitely key to stay ahead of your information dissemination. I don't want to say story. It's not a story, but you want to be a few steps ahead, just for the, you know, the same reasons you would in any other situation. It's beneficial to your organization. It helps people just, you know what the next step is going to be. I think that's a key part of this whole thing is the unknown, you know? It's not like it's something we can see. You don't know if you're walking into a building, oh, I'll stay away from that person. You don't know.
I agree. And, you know, I think the way that you can, you know, keep your messaging fresh is by not focusing, so taking a different approach to it. So up until this point, a lot of our focus in the messaging has been around communicating about, you know, the virus, communicating safety protocols. And so the subject and the whole focus has been coronavirus. So
Right. People
are longing for some sense of normalcy, some sense of connection. And so if you shift and focus on the normal, but weave in the messaging because we still do, you know, if you're an employer and you're welcoming people back to the office, you do need to have those constant reminders. You need to train people. You need to keep them up to date on what the safety protocols are. But why not wrap that in some normal messaging? I love the Amazon commercials and, you know, as much flack as Amazon has taken, love them, hate them. This is not the point of the discussion, but I do like those ads with the employees that are talking because it makes me focus on the person mm-hmm. and they're telling their stories. You know, there's the woman that has the kid and the Amazon package. And yes, she's wearing a mask, but all of that sort of fades into the background. I still get the messaging, but I love the employee focus. And you can do that with your clients. You can, you know, take, you know, customer information and bring that forth. Or if you're doing internal comms, you can do employee spotlights or just, you know, have anything that is the things that you would normally do, but then have the COVID messaging be a part of that.
Right, right. And it, you know, it all works toward, you know, what your ultimate goal, whether it's, you know, at the forefront or not, but you're creating a community or you're solidifying your community, whether that's your community of customers or your community of employees. You know, at the end of the day, you want to be cultivating that, you know, sense of teamwork and camaraderie and, you know, on a brand level, you know, alliance, you know, allegiance with that brand of, you know, hey, that's my brand. That's my paper towel brand.
Yeah.
Look at them. They're doing it right.
And, you know, for communicators, you know, remind your clients during this time, what an amazing time to try new things. So try new channels. You know, if they've never used video in their messaging, now is a great time to try it. You know, we always, one of our solo traditions was using the summertime to learn new skills or try something new. You know, look at something on that long list of things that you've always wanted to do and do it in the summer because this month we usually do have a bit of breathing room, and it's that period, you know, that after the busyness of spring conferences and before September hits and we, you know, launch into end of the year craziness. And so use that, you know, don't make this year any different. Use this month as, you know, an experimental month and, you know, do some tests and remind your clients to celebrate their teams. What a great way to break through and, you know, shake up that coronavirus messaging fatigue by celebrating the wins that the team has had. And, you know, let's be honest, we know that this has been a tough time for businesses. Resources in so many cases have been cut back. Yeah. Sometimes there have been layoffs, but you still have a team that needs to be encouraged. And the fact that you are surviving this and are still standing, that's a win. I think that you can celebrate individual contributors. You know, you can make that a regular feature, but, you know, celebrate, bring some joy, bring some optimism to this time because we're all craving that. Trust me, everyone is craving it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, talk about learning new skills. I know I've been slow to this one, but as communicators among us, I don't know if you're being fed the TikTok for business ads in your feeds, but it's here. And, you know, I've seen some decent use of it. And, you know, I think much like happened, you know, with Facebook, the kids will all flee it soon if all of us parent level people head over there. But, you know, that might be worth looking into. And that could be a fun way to engage your team as well, depending on, you know, your type of business. You know, I think that could be a really cool avenue to explore. But yes, I agree with what you're saying for sure. You know, we all need hopeful messaging and, you know, not manufactured, but just to know like, hey, here we are and this is what we are. And this is our, as we like to say, our now normal at the moment. And this is how we're going to navigate through. And then, you know, we'll deal with the next thing and the next thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we all have to acknowledge having to be a little bit, you know, continue to be nimble as we get through this. And I've seen a lot of great business creativity, you know, of people taking that pivot and making things new. There's a local restaurant near me who, with our current state guidelines, it really doesn't make fiscal sense for her to even have a dining room open or outside seating. But she is focusing on what people love most about her place, which is her homemade sticky buns. So she's gone all in and all online with the sticky bun sales. And, you know, it's this ingenuity is inspiring.
And how now do I want sticky buns, Michelle.
But yeah, and the fact that, you know, she's not keeping that a secret. She's communicating that with her community. You know, and I think what you said about video is key. One of our town of Perkasie is making their car show virtual. So people are sending in photos of their classic cars, and they are going to morph that into a video presentation that is part of their video First Friday. They even took their First Friday event, and now they just go around to the different businesses and do little interviews. So it's been really great to see the ingenuity that comes. And I think that's been kind of the exciting challenge of these times, is shaking us up a little bit and saying, oh, okay, well, there's a different way. And, you know I still need to be clear. You know, we need to tell the truth. We need to be clear in that truth. We need to really be the, you know, we need to be at the forefront of telling our own story. And I think, you know, it's just, it's vital. You have to find a way to do it, and do it in a way that's compelling and effective, for sure. Yeah. And I think involving your team members is an ideal way to do that. Cause I think it lets them know that you care. And I think that's also very important right now, that whether it's your fellow team members, your employees, your clients, that they know, you know, I think caring still matters. We know business is business, and business decisions sometimes are and aren't personal. Oftentimes it's not a personal thing, but it doesn't hurt to, you know, let people know that you do care.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I agree.
It's got on a bit of a ramble there.
No, I mean, you know, it's funny that it's easy for us to all get mired in, and I've sort of been watching this spiral from afar, because I put some distance between myself and the anger, but there's been this spiral. So we spiraled down, you know, consuming everything that we could, because, you know, we all wanted to figure this out, and we wanted to have the information to navigate our way through this. And then we got mired in data and metrics. And then we went down the rabbit hole of, you know, politics, and, right. And it's all gotten so super ugly. Yeah. Which I think, you know, people are pretty tired of that too. And yeah. So now's a great time to be a voice of hope, of joy, of optimism. And, you know, listen, we're 6 months into it. This is where we are.
Yeah.
Ranting about it, being angry about it, none of that is going to change.
Right.
This is where we are. Right. This is it, people. So now we have to say, okay, we're here in this season of life. It's not a forever, but it's this season. So we have to figure out how to live. You know, it's kind of like being dropped into a different land. And now you've got to figure it out. Got to figure out the landscape. You got to figure out, you know, how to live where you are.
Right. Right. And
I, you know, I'm always somebody who would say that I bloom where I'm planted. Yeah. I like to believe that it's, and sometimes it takes a little more work, but I think we all need to adopt that attitude. Like, here's where we are. So how do I flourish right where I am with all of these circumstances, instead of being angry about it or being sad about it or continuing to mourn it? It is what it is. Okay. Now let's get to work. Let's do this thing.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think that's important what you said. I think it's, a very good friend of mine, she used this in her office. She would, you know, and it was great. I thought, wow, in a business, that's actually kind of cool. If something happened and someone on the team was really upset about something, she's like, okay, you have, and I'm probably not getting this right, I think it was like 24 hours. You have 24 hours to freak out about it. Then we're going to get to work.
Yeah.
That was great. You know what? You honor the emotion. And it's true. You know, sometimes when something's not right in your world, it does, you know, it does skew you. You know, you know you're not thinking clearly. You know you're not making the best decisions in that moment. So give a little time, and then, you know, just wake up and say, okay, this is
I'm best. A huge fan of the 10-minute breakdown. Yeah. Huge fan.
Yeah.
You know, when I was dealing with my husband's illness, I used that all the time. I just gave myself, 5 minutes to just break down, feel every emotion, cry, and then suck it up and keep going. And it's not that it was, delaying the inevitable. For me, setting that timer gave me permission to feel all the feels and to just, not care for a set period of time.
Right.
But it also reminded me not to get stuck, in that moment. So, if it's 24 hours, but just don't, let yourself wallow in it for too long, whatever that might be for you. If it's a short break that you just need to scream, cry, whatever, process it, do it. But then, when that time is up, okay, now it's time to go back to, adulting. It sucks. It does.
Don't let anyone tell you differently. It's a trap.
Yep.
Adulthood is a trap.
You know how we were all eager as children to get to double digits. And then, it was like all about, being an adult, and it was supposed to be so cool, and everything that whoever marketed adulthood, shame on you. It's not all it's backed up to be.
You make a great point though, too, because let's face it, we are information junkies as communicators, or maybe me. And so, and to do our jobs well, we have to know what's going on in the world, and especially something like COVID, as best we can, become the best subject matter expert that we can be. And sometimes just doing that, immersing yourself in that, can be a dangerous place to be. Sometimes you just, it's easy to get lost and just submerged in it and think, oh, forget it. So, just be cognizant of that, check yourself. It's like, am I reading way too many first person experiences that are freaking me out? Am I being skewed? And, another point you made of, this is where we are. And oftentimes, when I do read interactions online, and I think, no one's happy about this. When some people stage their argument is if, the person who doesn't believe the same as they are is relishing where we are. It's like, I don't think anybody is happy about what we're all going through. So let's all
say no one. No. Yeah, you make such a great point. Sometimes we're, I'm watching people just like go at it. And I'm like, okay, let's take a step back.
Yeah.
Does anyone want kids to die? Of course. No. Does everyone want their kids to be educated and be around other children?
Yes.
Of course they do. Yeah. So let's kind of take a step. Let's take the anger out of the room and say, hey, we all want the same thing. Right. We want the best for our kids. Right. We may have different ideas about how to get there, but does that mean that I get to like be mad at you for how you feel about it?
Right?
No, you really don't. I'm sorry. Like, sidebar, the woman who threw hot coffee on a guy for not wearing a mask was the most horrifying thing in life to me. And I am a huge fan of wearing a mask. First of all, you don't have a right to be the mask police for other people. He was outside sitting on a bench with a friend trying to enjoy a breakfast burrito. I'd really like to understand how you can eat food and wear a mask.
Can't do it.
I don't know.
Haven't tried
it. Second of all, you were just a passerby walking down a street. So if I'm walking down a street and I'm approaching somebody, I either have on a mask or I social distance myself so that I'm not in contact with that person. It wasn't like you were inside of a store together. And even then, it's really not your job to tell other people what to do. You can be upset about it because, a lot of people are upset because they are immunocompromised or they have relatives that are. And so I get that, but it's not your job to police other people. No. So stop that. Don't do that. That's wrong. Sorry. Rant over.
Unless you're being physically attacked by said person, not, it's just not really acceptable to throw a hot beverage on them.
Horrified. And of course, you know, because I'm a communicator and I had to see this through, I watched the entire video and I watched her try to say that it was his fault. Like, no. She's like, you hit my boyfriend. Uh-huh. You threw hot coffee on me.
Yeah.
You threw hot coffee on me, lady.
Oh, like, my goodness, people. Yeah. Everyone just needs to take, I don't know.
Corners and chill out.
I think we have it. Yeah. I don't know. I it's like we should all at noontime in our time zones, we should just do a collective deep breath.
Yeah. You know, and so we all, you know, listen, there are all these moments that just can make us so angry. Yeah. And that's okay. You know, I personally am not saying, you know, that you don't have the right. I'm saying that we all have the right to feel what we feel. Right.
That's how you act. Just
not tell people how to feel. It's, you know, I shared this on Twitter and it's so true. You know, therapists, when they're counseling, you know, people that are having conflict will say that you don't get to tell somebody not to feel a certain way.
Right.
So you work through that and say, when you say this, here's what I hear. But you don't tell somebody that their feelings are stupid or invalid or wrong because it's their feelings. Correct. It's how they feel about it. You can correct facts, but you can't tell people how to feel. And that's what we're all kind of doing in this moment. We're telling people how to feel about this disease, but we don't get to do that. I don't get to tell somebody that you don't feel the right way.
No,
you get to feel however you feel about it. I feel how I feel about it. I don't want somebody telling me like you're feeling too serious about this. Well, they're my feelings. This is how I'm processing it. You don't have to process it the same way, but this is how I'm processing it. These are the things that I'm doing.
I think for some people that's a, you know, no matter what the topic is, that's a psychological need. Well, I need you to feel the same way as me. So I feel good and comfortable. I mean, if this isn't the ultimate get comfortable with being uncomfortable exercise that our entire planet's going through, I don't know what is. But, you know, spin as we do, let's look at it this way, everybody. Hey, we're handling this as best we can. Just, you know, this is good in a way. Oh, that's terrible of me to say. It's like, you know, if we're handling this, we'll get through this. We will get through this. And maybe this will teach us that we can tackle other major issues facing our world. I don't know. You know, hopefully, I still have a firm belief that as horrible as this is, you know, it has to be, you know, whether we make it so or it's just, you know, it's in order to help us to make changes we need to change, you know, make.
Yeah.
You know, do cultural corrections that need to be made. I have to believe that. And, you know, no matter what your spiritual persuasion is, the one thing I noticed when we were in the thick of it here on the East Coast in the spring, there were an awful lot of rainbows.
Mm-hmm.
And it struck me so hard when Speaker Pelosi said during her eulogy to John Lewis that it was a dry day, but there was a double rainbow. On the day that I forget when, I think it was either when they honored him or something, but I thought, ooh.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't discount those things. Wow. We really broadened this out, didn't we? All the way from making sure.
But okay.
But that's good. It's good.
Here's the point to all of this conversation, dear communicators, because this is the world in which we are tasked
to
communicate.
Absolutely.
Feelings and sensitivities and different opinions are really making our jobs a lot more complex these days. You know, the other day, and I don't mean this to sound offensive to anyone, and I'm definitely not diminishing all of the really important issues. And I you know, am participating and raising my voice of awareness, but you know, the other day I was thinking, oh my God, you know, it's so exhausting to try and keep track of what's offensive these days. And, and again, I'm not diminishing the importance of bigger issues, but in all honesty, there are just so many micro things that offend people that, you know, it feels like you are communicating in a field of landmines. Like, okay, I, you know, can't use the color red because there are people that don't like red and they see it as a symbol of this. And oh my God, I, you know, I can't say that because there are these people over here that, you know, really think that that symbolized something different. And oh, I can't use those words together because there's this group of people that think that it means this. And again, I'm not diminishing the bigger issues and the real issues, but if you really stop to think about it, there just are a whole lot of things these days that people are like, well, don't do that. And it's hard. It's really hard. You know, is it Audi or Volvo or BMW? There's some car company that did this ad and it had a child standing in front of the car and she had on sunglasses and was chewing a banana. Cute kid. But of course, it rightly so, people took issue and said, hey, this is not cool. It's reminiscent of car accidents with children. But again, it's really, I know that the intent behind that ad was not to suggest that, you know, we should be frivolous when it comes to car safety in children. For me, I focused in on this cute kid and thought, oh, look at this kid. She's so adorable and she looks really cool. But I agree that the placement of where she was in relation to the car is something that probably was not the best image. But I'm willing to have some patience and some grace. But as a communicator, I also understand that's not always going to be extended to my clients. And so I've been really honest with clients to say that we do everything possible to be proactive and make sure that our messages are not, you know, offensive and not, you know, blind to real issues. But in the world that we live in today, just assume that somebody's going to be not happy about it because people are not happy about lots of things these days. And so now we have to say, okay, are we prepared for any backlash? You do your best to protect against backlash and to navigate these issues and to make sure that your messages have integrity and are not demeaning or devaluing a group. But in this climate, somebody's always going to have something negative to say about anything that you do.
Right, right. And I think that, you know, as communicators, that is our first instinct to always, you know, either backlash proof any campaign or thought, but it's been magnified to you're correct. And I think coupled with that is a lot of, you know, a lot of segments of our society are learning as, you know, as we go along as well, you know, some turns of phrase that you might've thought was so innocuous and you learn the origin, you think, oh, I am horrified that that ever came out of my mouth. Oh, I get it. But
And we want to avoid that, of course. Yeah. You know, we don't want people saying or doing things that are just so obviously, you know, not smart.
Right. Colloquially. And,
again, I know that everyone in our audience doesn't know me personally, but I just want to assure you that I really am somebody that operates from a place of grace and kindness. And I always think about human beings. It's just who I am. So when I say that it is exhausting, I honestly am not saying that to offend anyone. It's just the reality that I feel that weight. Like there's just so many landmines out there today that I'm even having a hard time keeping track of them all and having, you know, just like, okay, don't say that.
I know, right? I never saw it that way, or I was never exposed to that aspect of it, but you're so right. Yeah. And I think I'm similar to that. You know, I always give the benefit of the doubt. I'm like, well, surely they didn't mean this.
Yeah. Like the time that I wrote on Instagram about Netflixing and chilling and one of my followers DMB and said, I know that's not what you meant, but this is now a euphemism for, and I'm like, I was completely horrified. Like, how could I not know that? I didn't know. Like, oh my God. Like, I'm sitting on the couch with my dog eating popcorn and screaming stuff.
That doesn't sound as good, right?
And I promise you that I probably turned 22 shades of red, not for a black girl, but I did, and had to edit the post. I was mortified. It was so embarrassing.
Oh,
can't believe that I shared that with all of you, but you know, it happens to the best of us.
Oh, it does. Trust me.
I operate in a bubble where bad things don't happen typically. Like, I don't mean any, are you? Oh my God, people are going to think, oh!
Yeah. Too late. We already screenshot it, Karen. We have the receipts.
I know. It was so embarrassing. So embarrassing. And you know what? I probably haven't tweeted about Netflix at all since then, because it's just, I'm scared. Like, I'm afraid now.
So you have to Google everything before we write it. Like, oh, okay. What does that really mean? I know. Oh my goodness. Well, hey, we thank you for coming on this journey with us this week. And we hope we've given some inspiration to you. I just doing these casts for ourselves. Not that we do it to be self-serving at all, of course, but you know, it does us a world of good. To be able to talk about these things. And we do hope you benefit as well. And we'd love for you to let us know. Visit soloprpro.com to do so. Wherever you happen to listen to us, whether that's on our home base of Podbean or our Google Podcasts or iTunes, please leave us a review. We would love your feedback there as well. And until next time, thanks for listening to That Solo Life.